Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Good morning, New York. Good morning, Northern Virginia. Good morning, suburban Maryland. Last week of the NFL season. This is going to be a huge show today. Got two beat writers are going to be calling in. Russ Baxter is going to call in just a couple of minutes, and we're going to talk a little bit about the games that are being played today. I got a big game. I got a big day ahead of me. I haven't been to but one Redskin game all season. Russell's on the phone, it sounds like. Good morning, Russell. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. Are we ready?
Yeah, we're ready to rock and roll, Russ. I was just getting ready to tell everybody this is a huge day, but I'm treating myself to a football game. I'm going to be headed to the Redskins-Cowboys game. It was the one game all year my family wanted to see, so I bought the tickets early, and luckily I bought them at the right time. I thought I paid too much 2 or 3 weeks ago, but now you can't even find a ticket because it'll probably be 2/3 Cowboy fans there at the stadium, I would imagine. But
oh, there's no doubt about it, and the Cowboys have a chance to do something that is I don't want to say somewhat historic,
right?
And rarely done. They have a chance to wrap up an 8-0 road record, which the last to do that was the 2007 Patriots, and they're, you know, since the Super Bowl era, there haven't been a lot of teams to do that, certainly not during a 16-game season.
Yeah, that was the Patriots, and that was when they were going for the undefeated season, right? I think. Wasn't there a time that the Patriots were going for an undefeated season not too long ago?
Yeah, 2007, like I said.
Yeah. Listen, let's go ahead. You want to go ahead? Well, go ahead, Russ.
They were 8-0 at home and obviously 8-0 on the road, but that's the last team to do it. I mean, we've seen our share of teams go 8-0 at home, but 8-0 on the road is kind of rare.
Definitely. And you know what? We always talked, Russ. We've been, you know, talking to each other for 2 or 3 years now, and I love having you on. Sportsguru.com, footballguru.com is an incredible site. You are the busiest NFL guy I know. You're out there 24/7, and it's been a great year. There's been a lot to talk about. There's some really big trends going on this week with some of the games. I mean, some incredible numbers, and there's a couple of situations out there. I want to talk to you about a couple of these games. The one thing, you know, the one game I want to talk about is the Tampa Bay game. They're at home where they're 0-7. And they've only won two games. And right now, Tampa Bay has the first, you know, if things don't change and they lose today, they get the number one pick in the draft, right?
You know, I haven't figured all that out yet because Tennessee is sitting there with a 2-13 record.
They're wow. Right. Yeah, they're right behind them. And that's another game.
I get more interested in who's going to the playoffs opposed to who stinks.
I hear you. But the thing I love about this game is, in a perfect world, Tampa Bay needs a quarterback, and they need Marcus Mariota. They're playing Sean Payton and the New Orleans Saints, who had just played themselves out of the playoff hunt with that, you know, pretty horrible NFC South division. But because Sean Payton's probably going to hang around, as far as we know, and because New Orleans does care about what happens to Tampa, whether they get good or not good or whatever, you might actually see two teams that have no interest in winning today. And that's something.
You know what? I got to be honest with you, Bruce. I hear that all the time, especially from certain sports networks.
Right.
Okay. I've heard it for years. It's the biggest crock.
Really?
Okay.
Do you think
so? You know why?
Okay.
You know why? Crock?
Why?
Because it's a slap at the professionalism of the guys who play the game.
No, I hear you. You know what? And it's not. It's really not. It's not the player. It's not the players. I would say that don't want to win. I would say it's somebody else. If that's
you lay down for a draft choice.
For a number one this year, probably. Yeah.
I might.
Only because, look, Marcus Mariota, I mean, it's not like there's anybody. And, of course, there's no guarantee this guy's going to be any good, right?
Hey, so, in other words, you teach your kids it's not whether you win or lose. You lose to get a higher pick?
No, not necessarily. I'm just saying.
I'm not going to go down this path because idea that lose to get higher draft choices is so moronic and so unprofessional, it's almost insulting. I mean, it just is, Bruce, and whether you agree with me or not, I don't care.
Oh, no, I agree with you. As a matter of fact, all week this week I have said nobody's going to tank.
I hear fans. Let me ask you this. If you can't draft, what the hell difference does it make where you pick?
Well, not only it's exactly right. I mean, look at the Redskins. They don't have a general manager, so it doesn't matter. I mean, they traded away, what, 3 draft picks 2 years ago for Robert Griffin III, and they're talking about maybe releasing him after this year, which it doesn't look like it's going to happen now, but who knows. But listen, the Detroit-Green Bay game is a huge game. You know, you got Green Bay, you got a little banged up Aaron Rodgers, who's played great this year, like he always does, going against a Detroit team that's won 4 games in a row, but they haven't won in Lambeau Field since 1991.
Actually, Bruce, the streak is a little longer than that, and let me explain why.
Okay.
If you include the playoffs, the Lions have lost 23 straight road games to the Packers.
Right.
Going back to 1992. The last win was at Lambeau, as you said, in 1991.
Right.
But what people forget is that in 92, 93, and 94, when the Packers were still playing 3 home games in Milwaukee, the Lions lost all those games as well.
So how far does it actually go back, do you think?
No, it goes – their last win at Lambeau is 91.
Okay.
It's not – it's 20 at Lambeau and 3 at Milwaukee.
20.
So in other words – in other words, the Lions want no part of the state of Wisconsin.
Well, you know, and they play indoors now, which, you know, I don't. How long has Ford Field been there? Has Ford Field been there 30 years?
No. Ford Field's been there since 2002, but they moved into the Silverdome in 1975.
That's right. They played indoors there. You're right.
So they've been an indoor team for a long time. And listen, it's, you know, it's funny about the Lions. It's not the same mystique as the Vikings had when they played outdoors.
Right.
Okay. But, of course, you know, Detroit's been able to get a couple of Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Super Bowl 16 and Super Bowl 40 after playing indoors. I totally understand and all that. I mean, listen, I actually think they're going to beat the Packers at Lambeau today. I think they're playing better than the Packers. I think in a year of inconsistency around the entire league, there have been few units as consistent, Bruce,
right,
as the Detroit Lions defense. How's this first stat? They have held 11 of their 17 – I'm sorry, try again. 11 of their 15 opponents to 17 points or less.
That's all
only one.
Yeah, that's all you usually need to do for a win.
Right, only one team all season has put a 30 spot on the Lions, and that was the Patriots.
Right.
That's it. They play a lot of this season, or chunks of the season, without Reggie Bush, without Calvin Johnson. You know, they hold teams down, and I don't think Green Bay, I know the game's at home, but Green Bay the last couple weeks, even the Atlanta game when they won on Monday night, and even last week a little sluggish, I'm not sure if they're firing quite on all cylinders right now. Now, again, they're both headed to the playoffs, and then we can get into the whole thing about the Lions in 1991, because that's also the last year they won a playoff game. It's also the last year they swept the Packers. So the 1991 is a year they would like to get back to, but they'd like to forget the 20 something in the middle. But I think the Lions grind one out today, Bruce. I really do.
Well, you know what I like about the Lions is I really like Jim Caldwell and what he's done there. You know, I mean, Jim Caldwell showed up and he just brought kind of a mentality to that team that with a lot of confidence. And, you know, not that Jim Schwartz didn't have a particularly good time there. You know, Jim Schwartz is a good defensive coordinator. Don't know if he's a big picture guy. Caldwell seems to be, doesn't he?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And I think what he's done, he's brought a calmness. Although Dominic Raiola could have used that calmness last week. I mean, that's cost. I mean, that's really the first hint of the recent Lions we saw this year with him doing what he did. And it just wasn't a very smart thing to do.
No.
And, you know, as the NFL stated, I mean, it's not the first time he's been involved in something like this.
So here we go.
A Lion stomping on somebody. It's not Ndamukong Suh. And he puts his team in a position where they play one of the most important games in the last couple of years without their starting center and one of their most dependable offensive linemen. So shame on him, frankly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Way to get this done. You know, they held the Packers to 7 points back in week three. And I know this is a different Packer team, but I don't know how different.
No, I agree. Can you hold Russ while I talk about the NAR real quick, and we'll be back in a minute?
Sure.
For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. More Russell Baxter when we come back on AM 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back with Russell Baxter. Russ, let's talk about a 1 o'clock game right now, another 1 o'clock game. The Buffalo Bills are going to Foxborough to play the Patriots. The Bills have looked phenomenal recently, even though they lost a tough one last week. New England's won 3 in a row. They're 12-3. They're undefeated at home. Do you think they'll go ahead since they have already assumed or have already won home field advantage through the AFC playoffs? You think they'll just go ahead and play a normal game and try to score a lot of points and keep Brady in there till the end?
No, I don't know if they'll necessarily do that. I can remember going back number of years ago, and I want to say it was, I'm trying to remember what year it was, to be honest with you. They played the 49ers, and the 49ers were not very good. So it had to be maybe 2010 or 2009 or maybe even before that.
Right.
They played, you know, I think they had everything wrapped up, and they played a really poor, it might have been 2004 that I think of that. They played a really poor first half against San Francisco.
Right.
And Bill Belichick kept his starters in there in the third quarter because I don't think he wanted to have the lasting impression of those players playing poorly. I think probably the goal is to play at least a half. You don't want to sit for 3 weeks. Okay?
That will instantly
get you in trouble. But I think he wants to – I'm not saying they have to be winning 35-0 at the half to say they're playing – not playing poorly. I'm just saying that they need to be playing well, and it has nothing to do with score. But that year they played the Niners, it was not a good Niner team, and they were very sloppy. So I think he wants to look at it, but it behooves them to be playing good football as they go into the playoffs. It doesn't behoove them to go 14-2. They've already got everything wrapped up. For the Bills, it would be nice win or, you know, however they win it and whoever's on the field. They haven't had a winning season since 2004. It would be a nice way to go out. I want to also say they're 2-26 against the Pats the last 28 times they've played. They haven't won in Foxborough since 2000, which was Belichick's first year there. So there's a lot of things. You know, it's a hard game to gauge, but the thing to watch is how long does New England keep its starters in there? And if they're playing well. I would be very surprised if Belichick played them the whole game, only because there's nothing at stake. But again, I don't think he's sitting many people down, especially in the first half.
You know, Russ, here's another 1 o'clock game. I agree with you, by the way. I think this is a game that if you're playing, you know, the games, you need to stay away from that one because you really don't know what's going to happen. San Diego had an incredible comeback last week and won. Nobody could even believe. I didn't believe watching. I've watched the replay of that game twice. Phillip Rivers, to me, looked like he got better and better as the game went on. It's almost like the looser he gets, the less hurt he looks. And he moved okay in the pocket. They gave him plenty of time, most of the time, to throw. They go into Kansas City, and Kansas City for the most part, doesn't really – their chances of making the playoffs are slim and none. San Diego, if they win, they're in. Do they have a good shot, do you think, today in Kansas City?
I think they do. They lost to the Chiefs earlier this year in San Diego. Kansas City's run defense is troublesome. Last week at Pittsburgh, they couldn't score a touchdown. They moved the ball. Although I think it'll be funny because maybe today's the day that Chase Daniels, not Alex Smith, throws a touchdown pass to a wide receiver. But I think this is San Diego wins and they're in. They know what's at stake. In essence, it's like a playoff game. You hear that cliche all the time. But they're winning, they're in. And even if Baltimore wins and finishes 10-6, they're out. So, but if Baltimore wins and San Diego loses, Baltimore's in. So the Chiefs still have a shot. Even the Texans still have a shot.
Yeah, they do. It's unbelievable this year. And you pointed that out to our listeners all the time about how the AFC had 12 out of 16 teams that had a winning record, basically.
Yeah, and the possibility is that you're probably looking at maybe eight teams in the AFC with winning records this year, and two of them obviously aren't going to make it. So, but we'll see. I mean, again, anything can happen. The one thing, and listen, I find this all the time. I can cite examples. There's this thought process that teams don't have nothing to play for. I can tell you factually. It doesn't work.
No, I hear you.
And I'm not talking about the draft choice aspect of it. I am talking about, I can cite examples of teams getting knocked out of the playoffs by teams that were going absolutely nowhere. Because mm-hmm. you get on that field, you want to win. I mean, that's the bottom line. You don't care what the front office says. You don't. And I did not. Listen, the way it's tanking games, I'm always amazed as I hear certain parts of the media say it's good to lose games to get higher draft choice. I mean, I watch Detroit Lions pick in the top 10 all the time. I watch the Cleveland Browns pick on the top 10 all the time. Where the hell are they going? Nowhere.
No, I hear you.
Yeah. And yet the Seattle Seahawks get a Super Bowl quarterback in the third round. Okay, and they get what? Where'd they get Bobby Wagner? The second round?
Yeah, well, Bobby Wagner was the second round, but they got, Richard Sherman was a fourth or fifth round pick.
Yeah. Round. So that's my point.
Yeah, well, they have a good GM over there, too.
Cook the books and try to play for high draft choices.
No, you can't.
Here's the thing. If you can't draft, it doesn't matter where you pick.
I know. Tell me about it. I agree.
When the draft rolls around, I'm less interested in who's what team is picking and more interested in who's doing the picking because there are masters of their craft. That at it. I mean, Bill Polian was one. Ron Wolf was one. Both those guys eligible for, who might be going to the Hall of Fame this year, by the way.
Right.
Bobby Beth was one. He did his a different way. You look at Ted Thompson does a terrific job. Mm-hmm. Take your pick. Kevin Colbert in Pittsburgh. Bill Belichick. Those guys are masters. And then you have other guys who just swing and miss.
You know, there's a couple of teams out there that nobody's paying attention to that are playing so much better, and one of them probably ended up with the best rookie quarterback, and that's the Oakland Raiders. I mean, lately they look like they are – they're trying to get the fire on their defense, even without all of the parts that they need. But they're playing great, and this kid Carr is playing great. I talked to Raleigh McKenzie on the phone, Reggie's twin brother – they have a lot of draft choices and free agents that are playing literally 70, 80, 90% of the time on that team. And it takes time, but that's a team that's probably just going to get better too. Let's talk about a game, you know.
Bruce, what does it tell you? We all know this just from life. If you're going anywhere, what do you need?
Well, you need talent.
No, if you're going anywhere, you need a reliable car.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. No, I hear you. Hey, Dallas is in Washington. This game that we're going down to, you know, Dallas has already clinched the East. Romo wouldn't hurt him to sit out a game. Wouldn't hurt DeMarco Murray either, but I think he, 26 yards or something, and he ends up breaking Emmitt Smith's record. Do you think that they'll start their starting lineup and maybe play them a half and then get them out of there? Or do you think that they'll go for the win hard, knowing that they're going to be playing again next week?
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. And sorry about that. We disappeared, but got back just as quickly. And unfortunately, Russ had to go somewhere. And I love Russ Baxter. He's one of the best people out there on the air. And he's on the air all day Saturday, all day Sunday, all week long. And it's good having him. I'm going to read off some trends here that are very interesting. Generally speaking, home teams in the NFL the last week of the season, and this just doesn't go that far back, but they're 42. These are people that in division duels, 42 and 22 straight up are the home teams and against the spread. So generally speaking, if you played the home team, you'd probably be a winner more times than you're a loser, but that doesn't necessarily mean that this year would be that way. Better yet, when you're playing off of a straight-up loss, the record is, like, in other words, if you lost last week, your record would be 22-6 against the spread if you have a home division game the last week of the season. 22-6 is pretty daggone serious. That's a great, great trend. The get even, like if you lost the first game of the season to this team, your get even against the spread trend number is 14-2. Listen to that, 14-2. And that's the Minnesota Vikings, the Tampa Bay Bucks, and the San Francisco 49ers. The only two games I like there are San Francisco and Minnesota. And, you know, it's not – and I love Russ, and I hear what he's saying, but I think Tampa Bay doesn't try to win today. If you're going to go to the number two spot winning a game, look, Lovie Smith's going nowhere. I just think that it would make little or no sense if you're looking for a quarterback. And really, there's only one guy in the draft. Look at the Heisman Trophy voting. I mean, Marcus Mariota was like 1-20 to win. I mean, there was no way anybody else was going to win the Heisman, and he does it every way possible. And people that have seen him like him, they say he's phenomenal. Of course, they said Johnny Manziel was pretty good too. Now he's looking like he may be the guy that we were all scared he was going to be. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion, the last show of 2014. We've had a lot of stuff happen during the year. Next week I'm probably going to have my buddy Bruce Bochy call in. We're going to talk a little bit about what the Giants are doing, trying to revamp their team. They really didn't have a lot of work to do. They brought back, and they had a lot of guys coming back. They ended up re-signing Jake Peavy to a two-year deal for $24 million, $12 million a year. Jake had better numbers than anybody else, including John Lester, by the way, that was picked up before the trade deadline, and played for another team. Now, Jake, you know, in the playoffs wasn't as good, but he did a pretty good job up until then. And you make a strong argument that if it wasn't for Jake Peavy, they wouldn't have been there. You can say the same thing about 20 of the players for the San Francisco Giants. That's why they were so good. They have a great team, and they all play together well, and they all like each other, and that makes a big difference. But we'll have Boach next week, and we'll be going into a lot of the off-season trades, the off-season signings, what people are looking for. There's already been a lot, and there's an outside chance I might get my buddy Mike Wallace to call in later today, and we'll talk a little bit about the East, which would include the Mets, the Yankees. You know, Wally knows everything about the National League, the American League, and we'll try to figure out what's going on. I still can't figure out what the Yankees are doing. I really don't know. It's almost like the Yankees have so much money, they can do what the hell they want. And if they win more games than they lose, it's like, you know, Steinbrenner's not going to get rid of Cashman. Well, you know what? Hire me, okay? I'll do a hell of a lot better than Brian Cashman. I'll save you a lot more money, and I'll actually develop my minor league system. And you go, well, who are you, Bruce Hall? I say, well, you know, I'm a guy that could probably get that done. That's what I am. But having said that, then you look at the Mets. And you look at, you know, the job that they've done in the offseason. They've done a pretty good job. I mean, they got Michael Kadire, for crying out loud, who's going to end up playing right field for them or left field. I think Cuddy's going to play right field, and I'm pretty sure they're going to put Granderson in left. And I sure hope Curtis Granderson has a bounce-back year, because Curtis Granderson is on my scorecard team, which is like 162 – you know, game season, if you know anything about scorecard, it's a lot of fun. I only have one team. I couldn't imagine having more than that because I have a summer team, and that takes up most of my time. Anyway, let me throw some of this stuff at you. The Bills are 0-5 straight up and against the spread in their final road games. They're going into Foxborough, which is the worst place in the league in history you can play. So, you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking that line's down to like 5 points right now, or 5.5 points. With New England minus, you know, being the favorite. I think you got to take New England today. I think Tom Brady's going to play the whole game because, well, here's the deal. They get the week off next week. So why wouldn't they play an entire game? If they get a big lead over Buffalo, and Russ was nice enough to point out Buffalo hadn't fared very well ever against New England, especially in Foxborough. But this is a little different Buffalo team. A lot better defense than we're normally used to seeing, at least since Buffalo used to go to Super Bowls when Marv Levy was the coach. Jimmy Kelly was the quarterback. That was a fun team. The Steelers are 6-0 straight up and 5-0-1 against the spread in their last home games, the most recent last home games. The Kansas City Chiefs, who have the San Diego Chargers coming in, and if San Diego wins, they're in. The Chiefs are 0-7. Straight up and against the spread in their last home games. Now, Andy Reid's only been there 2 years. This is his second year. They fell off at the end last year, and they seem to be falling off now. And I'm starting to see a trend there. And I don't know if that's a personnel deficiency or if that's a coaching deficiency. It's probably a little bit of both. The Chargers, on the other hand, going into Kansas City, are 6-0 straight up and against the spread in the final road games. What do we know about the San Diego Chargers with Phillip Rivers at quarterback? They don't lose in December. Now, we always thought Tony Romo lost in December, and he does. He's a November guy. Like, his record in November is impeccable. His record in December is not. But this team is a little different. I think maybe being hurt doesn't – I think it helps. I think it really helps Tony Romo because it allows him to kind of not get a little crazy with his scrambling because he can't scramble. Do you understand what I'm saying? He'll move around in the pocket a little bit, but I think he keeps his eyes downfield better. And if you think about it, it makes sense because he doesn't want to hold the ball. He wants to get rid of it. It's going to be interesting to watch them at least the first half. I'm probably going to take off at the end of the third quarter and got a road trip ahead of me after that today. Bill Belichick is 8-2 straight up, 9-1 against the spread at home during the last game of the season. The Detroit Lions have lost 20 consecutive games, is what Russ was talking about, at Lambeau Field while managing to only beat the spread 5 times in those games. So, you know what? It's still Detroit. And you know what I look at? Even though he's got an injured calf and he had the flu all week last week, it's Matthew Stafford. And for you fantasy football people, you know how bad of a year he's had, even though he's looked better lately because they've won some games lately. But it's Matthew Stafford versus Aaron Rodgers. I mean, come on. Is that a wrestling match? I don't think so. I think you could throw a basketball out on a court and I think it'd be the same thing would happen. Rodgers would beat him. I think you could throw a baseball out there, and I have Stafford throw to Rodgers and have Rodgers throw to Stafford. I think Rodgers wins. I think Rodgers is just the better guy, and he's definitely the better quarterback. And he definitely, now listen, Detroit has got Detroit has got some incredible talent. You know, I don't even want to count Reggie Bush anymore. I mean, he's talented, but, you know, how often does Reggie Bush pull out a really long run anymore or catch a pass out of the backfield and run it in for a touchdown? How about not all year? I don't remember seeing that. Joique Bell has been their go-to guy, and he does a good job. He does a good job. That, you know, they've got Megatron, Calvin Johnson. You know, Golden Tate has been their guy. He's their MVP this year. It isn't Matthew Stafford. Hey, it's Golden Tate. He's got well over 1,000 yards receiving already, and it looks like Megatron's going to be there. He's done an incredible job. I honestly don't think both of these teams are going to be dangerous in the playoffs. Green Bay is going to be dangerous. They could end up playing each other again for the NFC Championship. And where would that be? Well, if Green Bay wins today, it's going to be in Green Bay. But if Green Bay loses to Detroit, it's going to be at Ford Field. They're tough at Ford Field. You know, indoor teams are tough at home. However, if you look at Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers, he has the best indoor record of any quarterback, including Matt Ryan in Atlanta. Matt Ryan, as you remember, never lost in Atlanta indoors for the longest time. And now this year it's, you know, like a little bit of this and a little bit of that. You really don't know what's going on. I'm sitting here looking at the Chargers and the Chiefs. This is another game. This is almost a flip of the coin. The Chiefs are playing their number three quarterback. Well, he's actually their backup. Kid from University of Missouri. I like the kid. I really do. But I like him a little bit better than I like Alex Smith because he throws the ball down the field and he's fast. He's actually faster than Alex Smith. He ran a 4.52 at the combine, this kid. He just hasn't had an opportunity to play that much. San Diego really does deserve to win. I'd like to see San Diego win. I think it would make sense. And I could see the Chiefs going 8-8. I mean, we said earlier this year that, you know, last year, you remember my big play in over-unders in Vegas was what? San Diego. Why? Because they were 6.5, 7, 7.5, and they won their first 9 games last year, and then they only won one more game, or two more games. The Lions and the Packers are both 11-4 right now. You look at the Lions' schedule, they have been pretty much, here are the teams they've lost to. The Lions have lost to Carolina 24-7 at Carolina's second game of the year. They've lost to the Buffalo Bills at home 17-14, which must have been just a slugfest, a physical slugfest. They go on the road and they win their next 4 games, including a bye week. Beat Minnesota, beat New Orleans, beat Atlanta, beat Miami. Not great teams, but they also didn't have Calvin Johnson for those games. Now they come back. They lose, then they lose 2 games in a row, but look who they lose to. On the road, they lose at Arizona 14-6, at New England 34-9. Two of the best teams at the time in the entire NFL. Then they're home 3 games, Chicago, Tampa, Minnesota. They win all 3. Not very good teams again, but, you know, they're W's. They go to Chicago. They win there last week. Now they go to Green Bay. Green Bay is more like Arizona and New England. Do you catch what I'm saying? Take the Packers minus the points today. I was reading earlier this morning where a guy was releasing Detroit because he thought 7.5 points was a joke. I think the joke is going to be taking Detroit and the points at Lambeau Field. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back with more of Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. I'm trying to move this thing around. Is this good, Matt? Am I good? Matt says I'm good. We're going to keep talking about the NFL for right now. It's the last game, regular season game for all the NFL teams. And it's, coming up on wild card playoffs next week, which will be fun. Generally speaking, and by the way, NHBowl.com, National Handicappers Bowl, is a way of checking how handicappers do. There are a lot of different groups that keep track of how handicappers do, but they follow me. I've been using them for 30 years. It's NHBowl.com. You can check and see who's hot, who's not. You can find out who's involved, who's not involved. I was seeing, there's a guy who has a show, John Kincaid. He works out of Atlanta, and supposedly his record is close to 70% for the year. I was following him for a while, and he was like in the mid 60s, and that's incredible. Anything over 60 is phenomenal. But he's done quite well, and I've tried to have him on the show, and I can't get him on the show. He's promised me he was going to come on. John, you got to come on. If you're listening, and I doubt you're listening because your show's on right now in Atlanta. He's with CBS Radio. The Browns are having problems. Josh Gordon, their phenomenal wide receiver who missed several games this year. I want to say he missed 10 games this year because of substance abuse. He got caught doing something he wasn't supposed to be doing. I'm pretty sure it was just smoking pot. I don't think it was cocaine or anything. He was smoking pot, but he smokes too much pot. And look, if you're going to take drug tests on a regular basis in the NFL because you've been caught more than once, stop it. Just don't do it. What's the point? Josh Gordon could be one of the top five receivers in the league. A lot of people think he is, but he came back and then he was late for a walkthrough yesterday at the facility. Well, actually, no, not at the facility. I guess it was a walkthrough in Baltimore because they're here in Baltimore playing the Ravens today. And you talk about a team that has, underachieved this year would be the Baltimore Ravens. The Baltimore Ravens have scored 100 more points, 97 actually, more points than they have given up. That's better than almost all but three or four teams in the league. The Ravens could have easily won, in my opinion. They could have easily won the AFC North this year, but they've had so many games that they've just blown up late in the game. They've even come back and won a couple, but they've lost more than they've won. They let the Chargers rally in Week 13. That was ridiculous. Phillip Rivers has performed some magic acts. But the Ravens are at home today. They're giving up anywhere from 12 to 13 and a half points. Depends on where you look in Vegas. The Browns are starting Connor Shaw, who's played at University of South Carolina last year. He's an undrafted rookie. And you know what? This kid can play. He's a pretty good ball player. He's quick. He might be faster than Johnny Manziel in the pocket, and he's definitely taller. But he's starting today because Johnny Manziel, if you remember, got landed on last week by some big dude, a lineman or something. And, you'd have thought he was dead. He looked like he was dead. And then there was talk. Of course, he was out the rest of the game. Then there was talk immediately Monday or Tuesday that he was going to possibly start this weekend. But he also was late to a couple of to at least one event, team event. There are reports that they have sent that have been reported by reporters, NFL reporters, that they sent their security team looking for him on Friday night and Saturday night just to find out where he is. I got a feeling Johnny Manziel isn't long for this league. And I think everybody, you got to give it to Merrill Hodge. He called him out early on, said he wasn't good enough. didn't have the footwork, too small, not, you know, just not the kind of guy you want to be your quarterback.
Is he going to be hanging out with Tim Tebow later on?
No, not at all. I don't think Tim Tebow. I think Tim Tebow would be the best thing in the world.
That would be an awesome sitcom.
Do you know how
Perfect Strangers 2.0?
Matthew's trying to talk. He's not doing too well. He's a little under the weather today. That's why you haven't heard him today. I like it when Matthew talks to me. But the thing that you know, I was on Facebook
yes.
And I was talking about Tim Tebow. Somebody sent a picture of Tim Tebow, and I just happened to mention, boy, I wish the Redskins had him. You would have thought that I had just endorsed Vladimir Putin to be, you know, governor of Virginia or something. I got attacked by everybody in the world. He can't play. He can't do this. He can't do that. Well, you know what? I know all the bad things that they said about Tebow. I understand that he's not your typical drop back quarterback. But we got that problem already in Washington. We got a guy that we spent 3 first round draft choices and a second round choice on 2 years ago. And there was talk a week, 2 weeks ago that we were just going to release Robert Griffin or trade him somewhere. You know, Tim, you know what? All I remember was when John Fox, you know, first got to Denver and they had a chance to make the playoffs and their quarterback got injured. This is before Peyton Manning got there. Tim Tebow took over the team and they won like four games in a row and eight. And Jesus, Matt.
I'm sorry.
And
I'm just still envisioning
okay,
my sitcom
buddy?
Idea.
Yeah, try. But my point is
that, get right into
is you know what, this kid would give you 100% every minute that he's on the field. And I would love to have the guy around my team. Just to have him. I mean, he's 6'4 and a half, 235, 240, probably runs a 4.640. He tested off the charts at the combine on everything. Everything they did, the shuttle run, the vertical jump, the you know, I mean, for quarterbacks, he set records. And yet, look who ended up with him. The Jets. Well, look where the Jets are. The Jets are gone. Their general manager, John Idzik, gone after today. Their head coach, Rex Ryan, gone after today. Send him to a good team. He was on a good team, but see, Elway got rid of him because they wanted Peyton. And as soon as they brought Peyton in, which was a good idea, John, I'm not saying you didn't have a right idea, and I don't think John really wanted Tebow anyway. He was actually drafted because Josh McDaniel was there before he lost his job and John Fox came in there. There was a lot of politics going on in Denver. Tebow was just right in the middle of it.
When you think about that time when Tebow was with the Jets, would you have been able to predict the future that Mark Sanchez butt fumble would still be in the league and Tim Tebow would be off doing whatever?
Well, how many games in a row now has Philadelphia, oh, by the way, lost to the Redskins last week. Okay, so Mark Sanchez, that experiment in Philadelphia with Chip Kelly's offense, not doing so good right now. As a matter of fact, I have picked and released the New York Giants, the New York Football Giants, to beat the Philadelphia Eagles and cover the point spread at home today. You know why? Who's going to cover Beckham? Nobody. They don't have anybody that can cover him. They don't have anybody that can cover their tight end. Philadelphia, in my opinion, they're done. I mean, that you know, they there's no way they can make the playoffs. You know, it's not an experiment. Chip did a pretty good job, and people talked a lot about his offense. But he had Mark Sanchez in there, and Sanchez made just enough errors the last 4 weeks to lose those games, or at least not to bring them back and win games.
Do you feel like the Chip Kelly offense is done, that people have figured it out, or that he just doesn't have the right people in there?
No, well, listen, it's all based off getting on the line of scrimmage and snapping the ball with 15 seconds left. If you know, I don't look at NFL teams as the kind of teams that are going to get in that kind of condition and be able to keep it over a 16-game regular season. And I think that in the end, it cost them. I think in the end, that maybe he doesn't have the guys he needs. Now, defensively, they've got some really good guys around the line of scrimmage. They really do. Their front 5 to 7 guys are pretty good. Their secondary, I mean, you know, DeSean Jackson, who Kelly got rid of, and everybody in Philly is mad at him now. You know, coaching the kid is a different story. I was listening to Gruden talk about him last night, and he said, "Yeah, all right, here, DeSean took a play off, but that's all right. You know, he didn't get into a block that he was supposed to because he was tired because he ran down the sidelines on the last play, and you know, but DeSean Jackson ran right by their corner, and I mean, they didn't even give him help over the top." So something's not going on in Philly that's right. You know, they still have some holes that they need to plug up and so forth. But we were talking about the Ravens. I think the Ravens are going to win today. I don't see how the Browns win. I don't even think the Browns, to be honest with you, are mentally even in it.
I do think the Baltimore Ravens, I'm going to make that decision. Baltimore is going to make it into the playoffs somehow because they
– that means San Diego has to win to lose today.
The Colts left that lucky –
The horseshoe.
Yeah, the horseshoe.
God, Matt,
in Baltimore.
How old are you?
I am on so many meds right
hey,
now.
Hey, listen, I really think it's going to be that way. For the first time in generations, you don't want to hear that?
Sure, do it. Why
the
not?
Dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute.
Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were. And we let him off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Hey, I'm going to read this off. We've been getting a couple of calls from people that want to know the scenarios.
Yes.
Are you ready?
When I made that prediction about Baltimore, I thought it was more complicated than what it is.
It's not
really
that
just
big,
they have to win and Kansas City has to lose.
That's exactly right.
I thought it was way more complicated than
But listen, let me read this to you. Cincinnati-Pittsburgh game. The winner of the Cincinnati-Pittsburgh game clinches the AFC North title. The loser is a wild card. The Bengals clinch a first-round bye with a win and a Bronco loss. Well, the Broncos are 14-point favorites. I don't see them losing their last game at home. The Broncos clinch, Denver, a first-round bye with a win. So if they win, they got a first-round bye. San Diego at Kansas City. This is a big one here. The Chargers clinch a wild card with a win. The Chiefs need a win plus losses by the Ravens and the Texans. Good luck with that one. Cleveland is at Baltimore. The Ravens clinch a wild card with a win and a Chargers loss. So they have to have the Chargers lose or they're out.
Wait, no, Kansas City loss.
No, listen, no, Chargers. Kansas City is totally different. No, Cleveland at Baltimore. Don't argue with me. I'm reading. The Ravens clinch a wild card with a win and a Charger loss. If the Chargers lose and the Ravens win, they're in. But they have to have San Diego controls their own destiny. Destiny, Matt. Right. They control their own destiny. If they win, they're in. They have the simplest one, San Diego. Detroit's at Green Bay. Now listen to this. The winner of that game clinches, and Russ picked Detroit, clinches the NFC North title in first round bye. The loser is a wild card. The Lions clinch a number one seed with a win and losses by the Seahawks and Cardinals. Well, guess what? There's no way the Lions clinch a number one seed because the Seahawks and Cardinals cannot both lose. They're playing each other. Hello? One of them's going to lose.
When is the last time Detroit won the North? That's what I wanted to know.
It was a long
89,
time. No,
right?
No, it was not. I think
91.
No, 91, 91.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that was like Eric Hipple or somebody like that. Packers clinched number one seed with a win and a Seahawk lose. Loss. Seahawks aren't going to lose. Not to Arizona at home with a third-string quarterback. St. Louis is at Seattle. The Seahawks clinched the NFC West title with a win and clinched number one seed. As long as the Cowboys lose or the Lions and Packers don't tie. So that's a very easy thing to do. It's not going to be the Cowboys they're looking at. It's going to be make sure the Lions and Packers don't tie. The Lions and Packers don't tie, and Seattle wins their number one seed. And guess what? That means all NFC challengers to the Super Bowl go through Seattle. And we know how that worked out last year, right? Carolina's at Atlanta. The winner of the Carolina-Atlanta game, who is still going to be under 500 with a win, clinches the NFC South title and number four seed. The loser is out. Arizona's at San Francisco. If Seattle loses to St. Louis, I don't see that happening. The Cardinals clinch the NFC West title and first round bye with a win. Well, they're not going to, well, they could beat San Francisco, but I don't see it happening in Jimmy Harbaugh's last game. They're going to play hard for him. Otherwise, they're a wild card. Cardinals clinch number one seed with a win and losses by Seattle and Green Bay. The chances of that happening are one in about 500. Dallas at Washington. The Cowboys clinch a first round bye with a win and losses by Seahawks and Cardinals. Well, guess what? That can't happen either because the Seahawks and the Cardinals are playing each other. So Dallas is never going to have a first round bye. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
All right. If you have a question, give us a call, 240-317-7294. Somebody call me with a winner. If you know, I'm going to let you pick a game if you call in, and I'm going to give you the point spread, and I'll let you pick the side you want, and I may take the other side. Okay.
I'll let you pick
three games, and I'll pick three games. Okay. Meanwhile, I'm going to go over some more of the games. This Bengals-Steeler game is tonight's game. And by the way, we don't have a Monday night game because it's the last year of the season. You understand what I'm saying? We do not have a Monday night game. Yep. So the Sunday night game is not only the Sunday night game, it is like the Monday night game too. And this is going to be a lot of fun. The Bengals at the Steelers. Now, the Bengals just locked up last week with their win against Peyton Manning at home against Denver, 37-28, they won. The Bengals, are not going to be up for this game, in my opinion. They were sky high last week. They're in the playoffs. They're going to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has the numbers with them. Pittsburgh has a better quarterback. Pittsburgh has better receivers. Pittsburgh, look, don't get me wrong, I think AC Green's plenty good, but he's not as good as the three or four receivers that the Pittsburgh Steelers have. The Steelers, now they do have Jeremy Hill, who was on my fantasy team, and he's done a great job. But they've got Le'Veon Bell, who may be the top running back in the AFC.
He's on my
and Antonio team. Brown, who is unbelievable. And they've got a handful of other guys, and they have big Heath Bell. Isn't that his name? He's from University of Virginia, the tight end.
Oh, Miller.
Heath Miller, that's right. So many Heaths, I got to keep them all straight.
Heathcliff.
But I got the Steelers winning this game, and I got some points being scored in this game too. I don't see the Bengals putting up much. I see the Steelers winning this game by a landslide, and guess what? They're only three-point favorites. Take the Steelers for 10 stars. Not 5. 5 is my top play. Take them for 10. I can't even play them for 10 in the National Handicappers Bowl, but if I could, I would play the Steelers today. Absolutely. Let me find another game I want to talk about. We talked about the Browns and the Ravens. Let's talk about this Cowboy game. This Cowgirl game. Sorry about that. No, I actually took three groups to the Super Bowl from Dallas, so I have a lot of friends in Dallas. The Cowboys have been playing great. They whipped Indianapolis last week at home. And generally speaking, we talk a lot. They're 7-0 on the road, the Cowboys. We went back to what? The year 2004 2006 when they went 16-0 at home
and lost to Giants.
And lost the Giants, yeah, in the Super Bowl. Yeah. The New England
catch.
Patriots. Yeah, with all the, you know, the cheating scandal and all that. But and that was people say, "Yeah, but the cheating scandal was earlier." Yeah, but they didn't find out about it until 7. So anyway, I'm looking at this game. What is in it for the Cowboys? Tony Romo, you know, he's got a broken back, okay? Do you really want him in there for four quarters against the Redskins on a rainy day that's going to be getting colder as we sit there? Or do you want to, like, maybe start him, get him a couple series, and get him the heck out of there? I would say you want to get him out of there. I think the Redskins not only cover this spread that's anywhere from 3.5 to 6, depending on where you are, I say they win by 10 points. I think Robert Griffin, who's starting this game, by the way, who looked a lot better last week, I think these guys are going to get up for this game. Now, they do have some injuries, no question about it. The guy that's going to be in, if something happens to Griffin, is going to be Kirk Cousins today. But I see the Cowboys maybe getting DeMarco in there to break the record, and then as soon as he breaks the record, DeMarco's done.
Or his hand.
Don't you think? I mean, why would you leave him in there when you're going to play next week? They're going to play next week without a number one seed. I don't even think they'll be the number two seed.
But you're thinking that the Cowboys think logically. And Jerry Jones, do you think Jerry Jones is going to let them pull anybody?
Can I be honest with you? I didn't think that he should have played that kid last week with his broken hand. They would have won without him. They won four. What was the score of the game? Last week, they beat the Colts by 35 points. They didn't need DeMarco Murray in that game.
From what I've read, though, he can't actually injure it anymore. It is just a complete
break. No, that's not true.
But
that's still not true.
It's just it can hurt him a whole lot. So if he can play through the pain, he's fine.
You mean if they can give him enough pain medication?
Exactly. Basically they can just let it flop around, might as well just tape it to his
chest. I find it hard to believe that rest would be bad. I'll tell you this. I'll bet you if DeMarco Murray gets 50 yards in the first quarter, I'll bet you he sits.
I may be wrong about that, but that's what I heard. All I know is because of fantasy.
Because you're not a doctor, because you don't have MD after your name.
I was following it hardcore last week because I picked up his backup on fantasy football, and when I read that, I was like, oh, man.
I saw Gruden on his show last night. I think the Redskins are ready to play. I think the Redskins win this game. Hey, if nothing else, take the money line. Double your money. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall for Matt Lynch. We'll be back in a minute with more of Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to brucehallsports.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Just talking to my buddy Johnny Pugh, P-E-W. He was a teacher in North Jersey for the past 30, 35 years. I went to college with Johnny. I played club football with him. He's not only a great guy, but he's a banger. He would knock your teeth down your throat. We both played same defensive backfield, and we played kind of a junior college schedule and played other club teams, and basically, all we did was drink beer and play football. It was a great thing to do back in the 70s. I'm Bruce Hall. We're back.
That's the only thing you could do in the 70s.
Well, it was the only thing I could afford to
do. Didn't
have
the fun stuff yet.
It wasn't any good. Jimmy Carter was one of your boys. Jimmy Carter was president. There weren't any jobs. The interest rate was almost 30%. Hey, let's go over a little bit more of this right now. Bears at the Vikings. These are two teams going complete opposite directions. It's looking like not only are they going to fire their head coach in Chicago, they're going to fire the GM, and they're going to fire a guy even like up from him. Emery is the GM. He's gone. I would say Trestman's gone.
You just find anybody whose signature is on that contract.
Listen to me. Trestman's gone. Doesn't matter. Trestman's gone. The Bears, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if they're going to keep Jay Cutler or not, but there was obviously some problems between he and the offensive coordinator, and the head coach is caught right in the middle of it, and everybody's going to lose their job. The Vikings, on the other hand, Mike Zimmer has turned that team around. They're 6-9. Early in the season, you didn't even think they'd end up with 6 wins. Well, they are. They've been close in a lot of games. They've played extremely tough. I like the Vikings here. They're 6-point favorites at home. Cutler's starting, too. because the backup has a concussion, Jimmy Clausen, who, by the way, is horrible. But he actually played okay at times, but he took a big hit and he's out. So Jay Cutler's going to come in and pretend like he's playing. And who knows what he's going to do. You know, I wish Jay the best, but I think he's going to end up somewhere else next year. And I think the Bears,
anybody will actually touch him.
Yeah. Because, well, first of all, you know who drafted him, right? Mike Shanahan drafted him in Denver.
Yeah.
And Mike Shanahan liked him. And he played.
Nobody likes Mike Shanahan.
No, but
anymore.
He played. No, but Mike Shanahan is a quarterback guru. He just is. And he's got two Super Bowl rings. And, you know, he turned John Elway around. He got John Elway more efficient. John Elway was like Brett Favre on steroids. When he played, he ran around like crazy. He had a low percentage of completions. He, you know, he got hurt from time. You know what I mean? Elway was just, he threw a lot of picks. Cutler is turning into Elway now. I mean, old Elway, ugly John Elway. John Elway's a Hall of Famer. So, you know, I mean, you don't have to worry about that now. But let's go to the next game. Ravens, I already picked the Ravens to win. You did, too. You've actually picked them to go.
I think they're going to go to the AFC Championship game. Well, then, I'm just going to pull that out of my rear end.
Dude, there ain't going to be an AFC. Oh, you think they're going to be in the AFC Championship? Well, for that to happen, Kansas City has to win today. The Redskins are going to win. I already gave you that. Colts are at the Titans. Now, let me just tell you something. Andrew Luck's going to play next week. They pulled Andrew Luck last week. Early in the game because he had thrown two or three picks and he was struggling and he was getting killed. Andrew Luck has taken more quarterback hits than anybody else in the league. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, Andrew Luck's 24 years old, 25 years old. He's big, he's strong, he's durable, he's fast. But, you know, you get hit enough, you turn into – I don't care if you've got a Stanford diploma, you're going to get pretty goofy eventually.
He's given out a lot of thank yous.
Have you heard that story? Yes, I have.
I love that
There's
story.
There's nothing wrong with that. And I know,
I thought it was great.
I know a lot of people during my life that always thanked the guys when they helped them up. Or they would always say good hit. There's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely.
Well, not only is there nothing wrong with it,
made me love
it totally screws them up in the head because they're thinking, God, I didn't hit him hard enough. And he's thanking me?
They had the linebacker from the Redskins who was saying the same.
That was a good piece. But what scares me about getting older is I've seen that a million times already in my life, and it wasn't a new thing. Andrew Luck is what we call throwback, okay? Mm-hmm. His dad was a quarterback in the NFL. His dad just got a job with the NCAA, or mm-hmm. the NFL, I guess. It was one of the two. I think it's the NFL. He just took a job. He's not going to be the athletic director at West Virginia anymore. He's taking a job with the NFL, and it's going, you know, and that's a great thing for him because now he gets to be a little closer to his son. You know what I'm saying? Mm. When you're the AD at West Virginia, you're stuck in Morgantown a lot. You know,
not Roy, a whole lot to do after.
Can I tell
sundown.
You what? Roy Edwards,
not a whole lot to do
Roy Edwards
sundown.
Might love Morgantown and like being there. I doubt very seriously you could poll the entire, you know, Eastern Seaboard and find out what's the most fun place to go and where do you want to live. Morgantown ain't going to be one of them unless you're 19 and you drink a lot of beer. The Eagles are at the Giants. Now, listen, I picked the Giants. I love the Giants in this game, and I think they're going to send Tom. Tom is going to be back next year. Coughlin's coming back. Remember where you heard it first. Somebody that knows told me he's coming back. Saints are at the Buccaneers. No matter what Russ says, the Buccaneers are not going to win this game. If they have to hand the ball to somebody and carry them across the goal line themselves, I think the Buccaneers do that so they get Marcus Mariota, the Heisman Trophy winner from the University of Oregon.
Will there be a record-setting amount of fumbles in this
there'll
game?
There'll be fines. There'll be fines and investigations, but I think it'll happen. And plus, you know, Drew Brees needs to clean up his numbers. I mean, he's had a rough year this year. They have, you know, remember they had won like 21 straight games in the Superdome. They've lost four games there this year. I mean, and guess who their defensive coordinator is? Rob Ryan. A lot of people think Rob's going to be looking for another team next year. I don't know. I don't know that they're going to fire him. I don't know that Sean hates him that much because, listen, it's hard to fight. Look, we have Jimmy Haslett in Washington. He's terrible, but I am assured by somebody very high up in the NFL with one of the teams that is, if he got fired, he'd have a job in a week.
Yeah, you can. I disagree that he's terrible. Well, he's, I think he's playing with a very lowly stack.
I agree, and also when Shanahan's were here, we seemed to like want the offensive players more than the defensive players, didn't we?
Yeah.
Think about it. I mean, we left cornerbacks. We took a backup quarterback in Kirk Cousins 2 years ago. The same year we gave all those draft choices away for Robert. I'm saying we. This is bad. Robert Griffin the third. Hey. We did that, and this kid from Philadelphia, Brandon Boykin from Georgia, he's been a stud slot cornerback for the last 2 years for them. And guess what round? Fourth. Guess when we could have had him? Before the same round we took Kirk Cousins.
And it seems like the Redskins, especially in their secondary, just picked a lot of people that all they could do was hit hard but not wrap up.
Well, listen, Rashawn Breeland.
And always hit with the top
Rashawn Breeland. Rashawn Breeland is doing a great job.
Merriweather.
Everybody. Well, Merriweather.
You look at.
Bill Belichick didn't want Brandon Merriweather after his rookie year. What does that tell you? He got rid of him after his rookie year. You know why? Because he wouldn't do what he asked him to do on defense.
But that seemed to be the mold that they were looking for in what about Washington the other, for no reason. Yeah, now you look at why they had the best run defense right now. Because you've been throwing them all
Well,
day.
We're not paying Ryan Clark any money, but Ryan Clark was an excellent safety when he was with the Redskins originally 9 years ago. Hello? And we wouldn't give him an extra $1 million. And the Steelers signed him. And guess who made, what's the guy's name with the hair? Troy Polamalu. He made Troy Polamalu who he is because Ryan Clark made Sean Taylor when he was in Washington. Because Ryan Clark, basically, when Sean Taylor played next to him, Ryan was so solid and such a good tackler and covered well that Sean could basically be Sean Taylor. He could do whatever he wanted, and he got away with it. As soon as Ryan was gone, Sean Taylor – I mean, we never did really find that guy.
You can't put Merriweather and Taylor's.
No, but Brandon you can put Merriweather was all pro his rookie year. He made all pro his rookie year.
But Bill Sean Taylor hit with his shoulders. He didn't hit with the top of his head like Merriweather did.
No, Sean Taylor would take your head off with anything. With a forearm, his arm. No, he did. Sean Taylor was Superman. Hey, the Bills are playing the Patriots. I think the Patriots are going to run it up today. You know, the line went from 8 to 5.5 in one day, which meant everybody was on the Bills. When that happens, take the other team, Patriots. Jaguars are at the Texans. Texans are probably going to win this game. I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. And I did take the Chargers. Now, let me just tell you something. There's a couple of really good players. Starting running back for the San Diego is not starting. He's not playing. I mean, and that's not good. It's going to be that little guy that I had for a long time during, I forget his name, Brandon, what's his name? Come on.
I have no idea what you're talking
but
about.
But point I'm making is that they're just going to do it all with heart today. In reality, Kansas City should win this game, but the Chargers have just found a way to do it all year. Jets are at the Dolphins. I wouldn't touch it with your money because who knows what the Jets are going to do anyway. The Dolphins are going to give you the effort. They just guaranteed that Philbin's coming back next year. Remember when we were talking about that and Clark thought that maybe Philbin wouldn't be back? And I said, God, I mean, the only losses they have are to playoff teams. And plus, he's the guy that's made the difference with Tannehill, the quarterback from Miami. I think Joe Philbin, he's going to be back. They're probably going to extend him at least 2 years, and that's important. The Raiders are at the Broncos. Broncos are 14-point favorites. You know what? I would love to see the Raiders. If you look at both of these teams on a sheet and you look at their numbers, this is like a good team against a suck team. Lots of minuses on the Oakland side. Lots of pluses on the Denver side. However, the Denver team is going – their arrow is pointing down and the Oakland arrow is pointing up. This would be really easy – in my opinion, Denver could go up by 20 with about 10 minutes left in the game, and they may not keep Peyton in the game.
And this, I'm not certain of the coaching situation in Oakland, but could they be playing for the coaches?
Yeah, because it's Tony Sperano. Yeah, it's Tony Sperano. He was with the Miami Dolphins, and they fired him there because he won Dallas? Two games or something. Sperano was defensive coordinator in Dallas. He was defensive coordinator with the Jets. Sperano's been around. Sperano, they like him a lot. Like I said, I talked to Raleigh McKenzie. I think they like this guy a lot. And I think Sperano comes back. I think they offer him the job. I would, because they're going the right direction right now.
Well, if they beat Denver, then I think that's probably a good message that they want him back.
Yeah, for sure. Well, listen, we'll be back in a minute. We got a half hour left, and Clark Judge is going to be calling in. I hope Clark stays with us till the end of the show, because if I don't know what's going on in the NFL today, Clark will.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Waiting on Clark Judge to call so I can listen. If I don't know what's going on, Clark Judge is going to know what's going on this last weekend. We need to have a great weekend. Last week, I went 5-1, had a super week. Need to get my totals in to the National Handicappers Bowl, though, before I leave today. Clark's on the line now. Clark Judge, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Bruce, I'm doing fine. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing okay. Hey, listen, Talk of Fame Network is what you got going on during the week. Great show, great stuff. Tell everybody about right now about what it is you do on Monday mornings. Actually, you're doing them on Sunday night now, which is even better. Because then I get to read about it all on Sunday night, so I'm ready for Monday morning.
Well, that's the hope. I hope a lot of people do. But, yeah, I'm doing a review of the weekend, a review of Sunday's games, and we call them judgments. I did that for CBS Sports. I'm doing it for Talk of Fame Network, and it's basically a review of what you just saw and what you're about to see in the coming week. But view of the best and the worst of Sunday's action and what's to come ahead in Monday. So anyway, it's up there. As I said, I did at CBS Sports. It was popular there. It's been popular here as well.
Well, it's awesome, and I really appreciate it. There's nothing better than reading condensed intelligence, and that's what it is. It's just great stuff. Listen, let's go through. Can you hang? Are you going to be able to stay a couple of segments here?
Sure. Yeah,
all right,
sure.
Great. Let's go through all the games because this is it. This is the end of the regular season. There's some pretty wild stuff going on out there. There are some teams that are still mathematically in it but really have no chance because they need two teams that are playing each other to both lose, and that isn't going to happen.
Yeah, that's right.
But the Bears are playing the Vikings. You and I think, feel the same about this. The Vikings are going the right direction. The Bears are getting ready to, I think, cut a few people loose, maybe higher up than Mark Trestman. What do you think?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, it could be GM Phil Emery gets the cut, too. I mean, the thing is, if it were to happen, you can blame it all on one guy, and it's Jay Cutler. I mean, he's had the impact on everyone because they brought Trestman in there to rehabilitate Cutler and make him into the quarterback everyone thought he could be. That hasn't happened. Emery brought in Trestman. He also signed Cutler to that contract that he's playing under. They'll guarantee him $15.5 million next year. So I think maybe the Bears look at it and say, you hired the wrong guy and you gave out the wrong contract. So, Phil, you're gone. But if that happens, the coaching staff will be out, front office will be out, and then there's some talk that Ted Phillips, who's the team president, might make a change in terms of going to the GM and looking outside that organization, possibly going to Kansas City and getting Chris Ballard as the next GM.
Well, it would be a great job for the right guy. I mean, Chicago, you know, I mean, they've
great
been
place.
Bears have been
great
around
place.
For, oh, it is, absolutely. And weren't you there for some time?
No, I wasn't. I've got connections there, but I've been in and out of there, but not to work. My brother and sister both lived there, and they've covered numbers of events there. But that Bears organization is a great organization. And honestly, I thought when they gave Trestman the job, they rolled the dice on the right guy because he had gone to Montreal, was successful, and it's a passing league, the CFL. This is a passing league, too. I like the idea of an out-of-the-box move. It was an out-of-the-country move as well, and it doesn't look like it's worked out. In fact, if you look at the Bears now, you're absolutely right, going in absolutely the wrong direction as opposed to Minnesota, which is going in the right direction of Mike Zimmer.
Yeah, and Teddy Bridgewater. How about this kid?
Yeah, that's right. Right, that's right. I mean, would you rather have Teddy Bridgewater at this juncture or Jay Cutler? I'd rather have Teddy Bridgewater.
It's not even close. You know, but I got the Vikings even minus the 6.5. I like them today. You know,
me too.
They're at home, and what are the Bears playing for? You know,
nothing. Zilch. And they know that coach is probably out the door, that they're just playing for the next tee time on Monday.
Yeah, now the Browns are at the Ravens, and you're an old Baltimore guy. The Ravens are 13.5-point favorites, but they're playing a Browns team that's starting Connor Shaw, who's an undrafted quarterback. And I saw Shaw play a lot for the old football coach, Steve Spurrier, at South Carolina. This kid's a pretty good quarterback, but I got a feeling that even the Ravens' defensive backfield will probably throw some stuff at him he's not used to.
Yeah, I've said this before on here, Bruce, and I'll say it again. That line can't be high enough for me. This Browns team is a mess. The Josh Gordon situation, the Johnny Manziel situation, all sorts of things happening off the field. The least of their problems is Connor Shaw. I mean, here's the guy who's actually showing up on time for work. So, but he's a guy who's, as you mentioned, undrafted. He's been on the practice squad. He's playing his first game, and it's against Baltimore in Baltimore. It's going to be ugly. This is going to be ugly. I don't know how the Browns score, honestly. I think they're going to have a lot of trouble putting points on the board. The Ravens win easily.
Yeah, it's going to be a wet kind of – it was warm this morning. When I walked outside, it felt like it was 60, 65 degrees, but it's getting colder and the rain's starting to come down. Same thing is going to happen, of course, not 35, 40 miles away at FedEx Field. They call it Fed Up Field now. The Redskins have the Cowboys, who just won the East, wrapped it up last week, come to town. DeMarco Murray's, 29 yards short of breaking Emmitt Smith's record. Let me ask you a question. I mean, why would the Cowboys even risk playing DeMarco Murray today if they know they're going to be playing next week? Or you think they're going to, maybe start their starters, get a quarter out of them, and get them out of there?
Yeah, that would be my thought. Get him the team record and get him out of there. I mean, better question is, why would you play Tony Romo? He's got a bad back. I mean, why would you even play him?
Yeah.
This game means nothing. So, DeMarco Murray, I think I'd play him just to get that record and get him out of there. But I'm with you. I'd sit these guys down after a quarter or a half, whatever, because you're going to have to play next week. You know, you're going to have to play next week. So why would you risk injuring any of them? I wouldn't. I'd sit them down.
Yeah, don't laugh at me. I've got the Redskins as a 4-star play today. I just think that this is a game that after last week and they beat the Eagles, for the first time in a long time, from what I understood at Ashburn, everybody had their head up. And
They should. They should, Bruce. I mean, they looked like they had a pulse last week for the first time in a long time. And that quarterback, RG3, actually looked like he was reasonably comfortable. Now he still hangs in that pocket too long, and I still think it takes them a while to pick out receivers. Nevertheless, that was a good win for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's a game that I just have no feel whatsoever on, unless they're going to – first of all, Andrew Luck, they pulled Andrew Luck last week, Pagano right. did, because he was getting beat up. I don't know if you remember.
They beat up and they stunk. I mean, the whole team stunk last week.
Well, I don't understand why this week would be much different, because they've still, they've already clinched their division. And why on earth would you want – this kid just gets hit too much. I see this game being very similar to the Cowboy game. I could see the Colts starting him, maybe getting him a quarter, quarter and a half, and getting him out of there. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I'm 100% with you on that. People say you shouldn't sit down starters in the last game, and they talk about what the Giants did in 2007. That's fine. I mean, that was the Giants in 2007. I'd sit people down because I don't want to risk losing a starter and a key guy, and certainly a guy like Andrew Luck, but you don't want to lose a key guy, wide receiver, Kobe Fleener, a tight end, someone like that. You don't want to risk losing him. So why would you play him in a meaningless game? You wouldn't, and I'd rest him. I would not play him.
No, I hear you. The Saints are at the Buccaneers. Now, I was talking to a guest of mine earlier, and he's a good friend of mine, but he's like a real staunch, nobody, everybody tries kind of deal. Let me tell you, this is a game where you got really a lot going on that has nothing to do with the game. The Buccaneers are sitting on the first draft pick, and we all know who that is, right?
Right, that's right. I don't believe in tanking except when it comes to this game.
Yeah.
I wouldn't play anybody in this game. If I were Lovie Smith, I'd wipe out the practice squad. I'd let everyone play in there from the practice. I wouldn't let any of my starters play. If there's one game you want to lose, it's this one. I would invoke the Al Davis mantra, but change it just a little bit. Just lose, baby. That's all you want to do. You got one game left. It's meaningless. Who cares whether you're 2-14 or 3-13? You're 2-14, you're golden. You get the best player in the draft. So why do you want to be 3-13 and miss out on him?
You know,
lose this game.
Absolutely, and I agree with that. And here's the problem you have with that. Think about how sneaky those Saints are. I mean, all the way from the general manager, Mickey, all the way down through, you know, Sean Payton, all them. You know, the Buccaneers are in their division. They yeah. want the Buccaneers to win. you know
yeah.
I'm just saying there could be a couple of teams doing some really weird stuff in this game. And the only reason I say that is because, I mean, they're 6-9. 7-9 does sound a lot better than 6-10. And that would be, I don't know that Drew Brees has ever lost 10 games ever. So I think that's the only thing. Plus, Drew Brees, you know, he may want to throw for 400 yards, for crying out loud. Who knows? Jimmy Graham hadn't done anything.
No, that's right. He's hurt, and Brees hasn't been the same. And Brees, to me, is a descending player. I'd go back to early in his career when he was in San Diego. Probably did lose 10 games there. I mean, he stunk for a while. But in any case, Drew Brees just doesn't look the same. And honestly, he's beginning to look his age. I think he's a guy who's on the downside of his career, and it's getting there pretty quickly. Yeah, he doesn't have the players around him. Defense stinks, but he hasn't been the same this year, Bruce. He's thrown a lot of interceptions that I haven't seen him throw in a long time.
Yeah.
The Jimmy Graham not being healthy has really had an impact on him. But again, as I said, losing Darren Sproles, huge. Huge for that team.
Yeah, I haven't seen the arm with him either. It looks like his arm's bothering him a little bit. Because, we're all getting older. Peyton Manning, for sure, that's happening too.
Ooh.
Hey, real quick, before we take a break, Eagles are at the Giants, not 20 minutes from where you are. Well, in traffic, maybe more. But, Clark, I love the Giants today.
Me too.
Yeah.
I love the Giants here. Giants are on a roll. They're home. The Eagles are out of it. Their heads are down. They know that they've blew their chance to win the division. The Giants are playing, honestly, for Tom Coughlin. It looks like he's going to be back, but they're beginning to look good. And listen, Eli Manning, the last four, five games, he's been really good. I mean, he's been very, very good. So, yeah, I like the Giants this game.
Well, I tell you, Odell Beckham really kind of helps make him look good, too. That kid is phenomenal. Clark, I'm going to sell something here real quick, and then we'll be back in a couple of minutes. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'll be back in a minute with more of our last show of the year with Clark Judge.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back, and I've got Clark Judge on the line. Clark, thanks for holding on. We're gonna go through these next games. And I feel real good about today because I feel like, I feel like we got something going on here. The Bills are at the Patriots. You know, this line moved 4 points this week. And I think that, honestly, I think the Patriots are going to play a whole game, although they've got a lot of people banged up. Are you hearing the same thing?
Well, there's talk about Brady sitting down at halftime. That's not Belichick's MO with these guys. Generally, he plays Brady into the second half, but Brady's going to sit down at some point.
Yeah.
But Buffalo, again, this is a team that's banged up. Darius isn't going to play. Gilmore's not going to play. Kyle Orton's been terrible, and they have nothing left to do except try to, win a game at a place where they never win, which is Foxborough. But New England's just a better team. If Brady plays a half, to me, that's a half too long for Buffalo. I'll still take New England. I think it'll be a close game just because New England has nothing left. There's no incentive there, and they're going to sit down people. So I'll still take New England.
No, I hear you. And you know what? I think I'm going to leave it alone just because there's too many things I don't know there.
I would. Yeah, I would too.
The Jaguars at the Texans, I'm going to pass on the game. It's just too ugly for me. I mean, there's nothing there that tells me the Jaguars are going to win their fourth game to slide down maybe one or two slots on the draft board. And the Texans, 9-7 is a lot better than 8-8. So, you know, but the Texans are banged up too. You know, maybe
they are, but they have an outside shot, and a really long, long, long shot of making the playoffs. A lot of other people have to lose. Still, they have something to play for. And again, They're a better team. They're just a better team. I'll take Houston. What's the line on this one, Bruce?
It's like, it's 10.5 points.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, no, that's a big – that's boy, I probably like Jackson on that. I'll take Jackson on that.
Yeah, no, I hear you. The Chargers are at the Chiefs. The Chargers win, they're in. The Chiefs can't really make it. I mean, I looked at what has to happen, and, like, Arizona and Seattle both have to lose, and they're playing each other. So that's not going to happen. I think the people, when they put those things, that's one of the things that has to happen. But I like the Chargers here. I mean, Philip Rivers is playing like he usually does in December.
Well, this is his time of year, and he's hurt. I mean, there's no question he's hurt. That team is missing some key people. Ryan Matthews may not play. I don't think he will.
No,
Keenan Allen's out. And so you look at this team, you go, how in the world are they in this position? It's because Philip Rivers, he always puts them in this position. It's a tough place to win. It's going to be cold there. And Kansas City does have a defense that's difficult to solve for these guys. I mean, you look at what happened when they played earlier this year. Kansas City held that ball for 39 minutes. One of the reasons is very effective running game.
Yeah.
The other reason is Rivers had trouble solving that defense. But the downside for Kansas City is that defense doesn't force turnovers. They have 10 all year. It's a league low. And I don't think if they don't force turnovers here, I think they're in trouble because you got Chase Daniel playing. Now, Chase Daniel's only other start. Remember that was the last game of last year against the San Diego Chargers. He should have won it, but Ryan Succop blew a 41-yard field goal at the end of the game to put into overtime. The Chargers won in OT. Chargers got lucky that time. They're going to have to get lucky again today, but I think they'll win just because of Philip Rivers. He finds ways to get them into the playoffs. Once they're in, I don't think they'll be a factor. But, you know, if they get in there, to me, it's a testimony and a testament to Philip Rivers.
No, I agree. The Jets are at the Dolphins. Now, how can anybody do anything here but play the under? You know, there's only one half of the Jets team's going to be playing hard, and that's the defense.
That's right.
You know, and the Dolphins, they just, you know, he didn't even wait till the end of the season to tell Joe Philbin that he had the job next year.
I don't understand that.
Yeah,
I don't get
either.
That because what happens if they go out and they you know, produce a brick today? What happens if they go out and they lose big like they did last year? Last year they blew it, and honestly last year I thought, boy, Philbin's in trouble. He's not. He brings him back, and to me this is good news for the rest of the division. Joe Philbin's back because I don't think the Dolphins can win with him. They lose winnable games, and yeah, they were close this year, but that seems to be the case. It was last year, and they didn't do anything. So, I don't know why he chose last week, but I don't know what the line is here. I the thing that would scare me, if I'm a Miami person, and nothing scares me other than Tom Brady if I'm Miami, but you know, the Jets trying to produce something for Rex to go out on a winning note. They did that last year. They gave him something to remember to going into 2014. It was really a thank you to Woody Johnson for saying we're bringing Rex back. They were thankful then. He's not coming back.
No, he's,
but maybe they do something here.
It's going to be an interesting game to watch from time to time. The Raiders are at the Broncos. These are two teams. I love the Broncos defense. They're playing well, but Peyton Manning is not. There's too many things going on there. You know, they're playing for a bye. They're going to win this game, but the line is like 14 to 16, depending on where you look. I mean, that's a lot of points.
It's a lot of points, but they destroyed Oakland in Oakland earlier this year, and that's with Peyton throwing two interceptions at the start. But that was a different Peyton Manning. This is a team that's going to run the ball. I agree with you. I think I'd take Oakland, given that point spread. Denver's going to win this ball game, but I'm not sure it's going to be by 14.5 points or whatever the line is. Manning's not the same quarterback. I do think it's a descending team. It's a better defensive team than last year, but he's not a better quarterback than he was last year. So, yeah, I like Denver to win, not to cover.
No, I hear you. The Cardinals are at the 49ers. Jimmy Harbaugh is going to Michigan, and that's pretty much a done deal. The good news there is that you know, they got a pretty good Jimmy Harbaugh for several years there. I mean, look at his record, for crying out loud.
Yeah, right.
They're not
going to
get it. They're not going to get a guy that good, are they?
Well, you don't know, but no. I mean, it's the same thing as what happened with San Diego in 2006. Marty Schottenheimer went 14-2, and they fired him. And Jim Harbaugh's taken that team to three straight conference championship games, one Super Bowl in 3 years. Of course, this year they went the other direction, but they had so many things wrong with this team this year, including the coaching situation, which was unsettled from the very beginning. I don't think they're going to find someone who's that good in terms of win losses, but maybe management feels they can find someone they can communicate with better. Harbaugh's a difficult guy to work with.
Yeah, do you know if Jimmy wanted Kaepernick signed for that long-term deal or not?
I assume he did. He drafted him. He's a big believer in him. Those two are very close. I mean, yeah. One sits his wagon to the other, and unfortunately, they're both going down in flames this year.
Yeah, it's sad. The Lions and the Packers, this is for the NFC.
Green Bay. Green Bay, baby.
Yeah, I've got them circled, and everybody tells me I'm crazy, but you know what I say? Aaron Rodgers versus Matthew Stafford. Do I have to say anything else?
Yeah, now Rodgers got that strained calf, and that's an issue, but he's going to play.
Yeah.
The fact he's going to play is bad news for Detroit. This is an indoor team going outdoors with a high today is going to be 28. They don't do well there, and that's not exactly news. They haven't won in 23 years in Wisconsin, whether it's Green Bay or Milwaukee. Last time they won was 1991, so I don't see anything happening here except a Green Bay win. Green Bay's got a lot to play for. They can win that division. So does Detroit, of course, but Detroit's going to a place where it just does not win. I like Green Bay.
This is
going
to be a great game to watch, at least for a half, I'd say, and I'm with you. I got the Packers for 5 stars. Here's my play of the day. The Seahawks are making me look really smart now because I picked them to repeat earlier in the year. And honest to goodness, Clark, halfway during the year, I was telling everybody how wrong I was. And now.
Yeah, no, I was telling everyone how right I was because I said they're going to have trouble making the playoffs. But, you're right. They're the best team out there right now. That said, I still am not convinced they're going to the Super Bowl. Are they the best team out there right now? Yes, they are. But the history of Super Bowl winners is, of course, not good. The previous 8 haven't won a playoff game, period. So I look at Seattle and think, are they vulnerable? Yeah. I mean, is there a team that could beat them? There is. It's Dallas. Dallas has gone there and beaten them before this year. But the question is, can Dallas go there twice in 1 year and win in Seattle? I don't think that's possible.
Yeah, and I think Seattle is stepping it up a little bit every week. Well, they're staying healthy, too, aren't they? If you look at their injury report, there's not much
right.
on there. You know?
No, that's right. That's right. They are staying healthy. That's the key to success at this time of year. Look at Denver a year ago. That was the key, although they started losing people down the stretch. But, again, if you can keep relatively healthy,
yeah.
you're in good shape because it's not necessarily the best team that wins at the end. It's the healthiest.
No, absolutely. Now, we got 2 minutes left, and I got 2 games, Clark. The
okay.
Panthers and the Falcons. I was all over the Panthers all week, and I got off of them yesterday because I took a long look at the weapons that Matthew Ryan has. And I'm just telling you, the Falcons at home, it's hard to go against them. So I like the Panthers, but I think the Falcons are going to do it, so I'm leaving the game alone.
Okay, I'd leave it alone, too, because I like the Panthers, period, in this game. And I understand what you're saying. Julio Jones is going to play. That's trouble for Carolina. But Carolina is a different ball club right now. They've gotten back to what made them special, which is running the ball. Jonathan Stewart's very good. That Atlanta defense isn't
yep.
very good. I think it's going to be a pretty high-scoring game just because Matt Ryan can put up a lot of yards and a lot of points. But
right.
that said, Carolina can control the clock and control the football with Cam Newton and Jonathan Stewart running. So I think it's going to be a close game. I look at the history of this series. Carolina's done very well in Atlanta lately, and they've won, I think, their last 3 against the Falcons. I'm taking Carolina in this game.
Yeah, and the Falcons won earlier this year, so the split. And here's the game. This is my last 5-star, the Steelers. I love the Steelers tonight. Just love them.
Yeah, me too.
Against the Bengals.
And Cincinnati, yeah, Cincinnati is.
They locked it up last week.
A team that's sick. I mean, they've got a lot of illness. I like Pittsburgh at home.
Hey, Clark Judge, people, Talk of Fame Network, close friend of mine. Clark, I can't thank you enough for calling in and just getting everybody excited about watching these games on TV today. Hey, bring those Giants through tonight for Tommy Coughlin, will you?
We'll try. Happy New Year to you, Bruce.
Happy New Year, Clark. Clark Judge, people, we'll see you next week on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.